Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, folks. That's One Day of Hell, Dave Bray. You want to make sure you head on over to DaveBray.com. Get some merchandise. See, our guest hasn't called in yet, so we'll see what happens. There he is. I think he's in. He pressed the right thing. We will take some calls here in the second half of the show. I will give out the number now. Get your pen and paper ready. Please share this around. This is an important show for the Hernando County folks, Spring Hill, and others. Please share, share, and share alike. Check this out. Get your pen. Get your paper.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Put that pen and paper handy one more time. Here you go. There we go.
We are 241 years past the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
That's the wrong one. Sorry, folks. Someone changed the... There it is.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, James Scavetta joining me tonight.
Hey, everybody. I
never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only, and then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that, and that's what the song is about. Basically, it's about an officer who's gone down in the line of duty, and he's given his all, and when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops in and out of uniform, they are very human just like you and I. They pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office, and the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray USA.
That's right, folks. DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition is out now. We will have the version of the Star Spangled Banner to wrap up the show this evening, so stick around. And of course, hopefully you got your pen and paper and you took down the number. I'll play it again at the bottom of the hour so that you can call in and, ask a couple questions to our featured guest. We will be speaking with Hernando County School Board member Jimmy Lodato. He's very concerned about, also, I believe, what's going on here in Hernando County with this overhead projection of a BLM advertisement, I'll say, for lack of a better word, you know, up on the screen for all the kids on day one, maybe day two or three. I don't know exactly what day it was. But a student, and I'm sure it goes against school rules, a student took a picture of it and posted it. Now, I'm glad he did because, I feel maybe if he didn't post that picture and there was no outcry, that this topic would never come up with the board members and others. I think it would just slip under the radar and the kids would have went about their day and this teacher would have pushing the ideology of Black Lives Matter on the students and not putting, you know, Make America Great up on the screen at the same time. You know, if they were equal in their lessons, I would be fine with it. But if they're going to only put one side and not going to put the other side, some of the kids that may like President Trump too and what he's doing for whatever the ideology they are following that they're being taught or learning. So it's very important. This is a very important show, and I really would like these folks in the live feed to share this everywhere. It's very important that you do share this. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring our featured guest on right now. He's on hold right now. We're going to bring him in. He is Hernando County School Board member, Jimmy Lozada. Welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me on your show.
No problem. Thank you for coming on because it's a very important topic. Folks seem to be up in arms here a little bit over it. So we want to.
I agree.
We want to get the truth out to everybody so that they at least the truth as far as the school board sees it.
Okay.
I mean, everybody has it one side and the other side, somewhere in the middle of the truth, and hopefully we can decipher the truth so that the folks can feel a little better about their kids going to ideologize. By indoctrination and stuff like that at the hands of teachers, you know, pushing their political beliefs. I don't think they should push Trump. I don't think they should push Jesus. I think that's what we taught at home. And certain things should be taught at school, reading, writing, and arithmetic. What a concept. So we're going to have a couple callers, and we'll do that
Mark,
the second half.
Mark, you're breaking up a little bit. Are you close to your speaker?
Yeah, pretty close. Just real quick, so folks have a better understanding exactly what the school board's role is in the school and how it affects the students, the faculty, the curriculum, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Well, hey, let me go ahead and just give you a little update
James Cavett is joining me here right to my side. He has no internet service. He lives around the corner. I told him to come join us. And he's sitting right here next to me.
Hi, hey, welcome, hello. James. Welcome.
Hi, James. It's Tammy.
No arm twisting here. As soon as I discussed this with Jimmy, I told him how upset people are in the county, and if we can get the facts out there, he volunteered right away to come on Mark's show. Just wanted to get that. Thanks, Jimmy.
Absolutely. Well, go ahead and fire away. I'll be happy to. Let me just update you on what a board member is all about.
Yeah.
You know, we're elected by. Are you off?
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Can you hear me okay, Mark? Because you're breaking up a bit.
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
A board member is elected by the community, and the responsibility of a board member is the hiring and, of course, the firing of a superintendent. The only authority we have over the district is through the superintendent. He is the chairman. He is the CEO. He's the one who deals with the everyday running of the school district. So when it comes to hiring and placing in positions or any program that they want to bring forward, they have to bring those forward to the board. At the same time, all the expenditures they make also come before the board. And so the board is able to make the decisions on what programs to place in the schools once they're presented by the district. And we have the authority to say yes or no and ask all the questions that we have to, whether it would be financial or exactly what the program is all about. And so we're here in the community to listen. We are out with the stakeholders to let them know that we are on the board trying to make sure that we have a bridge between the voters and the school district itself.
Right. And what influence do you guys have over the choice of curriculum in schools?
We have a lot of influence over the curriculum, and the curriculum is usually has been set up through the years of the boards that have been the previous boards that came before us. And many of the issues that we're going to be talking about today, the controversial issues, I want to discuss with you. We have a policy manual that is set up by the DOE, and we have to follow the DOE instructions as to what the curriculum is and how we should teach it.
Right. So the DOE is the Department of Education, for those who don't know.
Yes.
Just to be clear,
yes,
so everybody knows.
Richard Corcoran is the Education Commissioner, and of course, he answers directly to the governor. And under Richard Corcoran, there are several chancellors. One of them is Jacob Oliva. And when we have a question concerning any issues or any policies, the superintendent usually clears it with the DOE. And so anything that you want to discuss, I'll be happy to discuss with you today.
Right. So, folks, there you go. So they do have some influence over curriculum, because I'm sure that there's a couple of curriculum questions later on. After we get through the BLM, maybe we can talk a little bit about some of the other concerns that the community has. Because folks, you know,
yes,
they don't often get a chance to speak to a board member. And this is a really great thing that you're doing. I'm thankful and very honored that you're coming on the show. I think this is, you know, none of the other guys reached out or tried to come on the show. I did get a call from John Scranton. We played a little phone tag, but I guess he had a different engagement this evening. I would like to hear
yes.
his take.
Yes, and I'll relay all the information to him after the show so he'll know exactly what we discussed. And I also gave him the information on how to listen in on the show, and so I'll give him a complete update.
Excellent. And the show, folks, if you missed it or you want someone to hear it because they couldn't listen to it tonight, can be found at www.patriotnation. Go there. There's
right.
like 800.
If I can, just let everybody know whatever question they want to ask, just ask it. Don't be shy. I'll be happy to answer it to the best of my ability. And I'm just thrilled to be here, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
All right, so now we're going to get down to the brass here. Let me just read.
Yep.
This is what I saw. I think this is part of what I see. I guess it came down from our state representative, Blazingoli. I can't be 100% sure that this is the same one, but this is the issue that came up. It's important. Hernando School's update, please read. Last night, over the objections of many parents and overwhelming backlash against it on social media, the superintendent green-lighted the Black Lives Matter movement in our schools under the auspices of current events. They chose to disregard that some students were forced to give opinions and feared being bullied if they didn't agree. The superintendent said teachers can introduce this subject if it is presented in an unbiased way. This is an amazingly naive statement. The problem is that it is already inherently biased. BLM has a political platform. It raises money and gives to one political party. It has a policy platform, including removing cops from our schools, defunding the police, among others. Some connected to the movement are rioting, looting, burning cities, and even targeting police for death. You cannot separate these two realities. No one has a problem with teaching civil rights, racial equality, and being kind to everyone regardless of skin color. If you are like me, you hate racism. We are all equal under the law, and we are all equal in the eyes of God, period. Do I think we can do better? Yes, but bringing this divisive issue into our classrooms and further dividing us is not the way to do it. And so that's basically what came around, and everybody said, holy moly, and there was a photograph taken by a student that had, you know, what this teacher had put on the board. How did you guys first find out that this was happening? Did you find out the same way everybody else did on social media? Did the photographs get brought to your attention? How did you guys find out?
Actually, I found out the same way you did. It was on Blaze's website, and it popped up, and people called me up and asked me the questions, and so I had to go out and find the answers. I did it exactly the same way you did. It kind of took me by surprise, too.
So now, when a teacher goes and does something like this, is there a policy that they're supposed to follow? Are they allowed to put their ideology up on the board or no?
Yes.
Can they get away with
anything? If I can,
Boston and stuff like that. They unionized. That's another question. But can they put that up without repercussion?
Well, let me just go ahead and clarify the whole thing on how it went down. After this whole thing went down, we had a meeting last Tuesday. It's going to be 2 weeks next Tuesday. And before the meeting, I was with Mr. Stratton, and I asked Mr. Stratton to send out a letter that would clarify our policies. And our policies, when he sent the letter out, stated that we would follow curriculum, and that's what we're following, curriculum that is set up by the DOE. However, at the evening show, meaning at the evening meeting, he added a whole bunch to it, and it was all taken out of contents. And I have it here word for word if you want me to read it, but I can read it to you. But what you mentioned before about a green light, there's really no green light. So if you want to hear it, I'll have this read to you right now.
Absolutely.
Is that okay with you? Good. I want to have my executive assistant, Mark. I'm going to have my executive assistant read this to you.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, Mark.
Hey,
this is Tammy.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I actually transcribed this. He had, of course, first he thanked everyone for coming out tonight, and then he stated, this is a civil discourse that we should have in our classrooms, and we do have on a regular basis. These discussions happen. A lot of comments in the last week or so about a picture, a singular picture without context. The observer takes from what they want, and some people definitely took things and ran with it to an inappropriate level, to the point that we closed down comments on the Facebook post. It got too out of hand. I also want to remind everybody that this became from a picture. This perception that there's a systemic curriculum that's now being infused everywhere. So we put out our policy for that purpose to let everybody know and to protect our teachers. It is a current event, and that is in our standards. It's certainly in our civics, government, and history classes. So current events will be discussed in a civil manner, but the rule's pretty simple. The teachers remain non-biased and do not interject their own personal views. It doesn't mean that tough conversations may not happen among students, but we temper it where we need to. We squash whatever becomes disrespectful. It's just like what it was as an example here tonight. He's referring to the board meeting. Nobody got out of line, and everybody got their viewpoint across respectfully. I just want the public to know, and I want my teachers to know that I support them. These conversations that need to happen will happen, not just this topic, but many topics, past, present, and I'm sure future, too. One of the standards says that we will talk about current events in Florida, what's happening today. That may be a hurricane, or it might be something not so easy to talk about. Again, it is age appropriate. Teachers have been doing this for years under this policy. So my purpose, again, to put that out was to let the public know. That was questioning the public that was questioning where we were going or not going, that things haven't changed, and to let my staff know. Just as a reminder, just make sure you're not presenting your own personal view. Beautiful conversations tonight. Thank you for those that got up here and supported the teachers out there. Thank you for coming up and telling us. We know it's been a tough week for you guys, and we know you guys are the glue that keeps it all together for us. We truly appreciate that. So I just want to thank each of you, but this is what education is about, what you saw here tonight. It happens in our rooms every day.
That completes what he said that evening. And from that message, all I got back was he green-lighted everything. And so I have brought forward the policy manual that's set aside by the DOE, and if you'd be happy, I'll be happy to read that to you also.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay.
Okay. Regarding the controversy.
Are you ready, Mark?
When you have something to read. Go ahead, ma'am. Sorry to interrupt.
I'm just reading it. Okay. The school board believes that the consideration of controversial issues has a legitimate place in the instructional program of the schools. Properly introduced and conducted, The consideration of such issues can help students learn to identify important issues, explore fully and fairly all sides of an issue, weigh carefully the values and factors involved, and develop techniques for formulating and evaluating positions. For purposes of this policy, a controversial issue is a topic on which opposing points of view have been promulgated by responsible opinion or likely to arouse both support and opposition in the community. The board will permit the introduction and proper educational use of controversial issues, provided that their use in the instructional program is related to the instructional goals of the course of study and level of maturity of the students, does not tend to indoctrinate or persuade students to a particular point of view, encourages open-mindedness, and is conducted in a spirit of scholarly inquiry. Controversial issues related to the program may be initiated by the students themselves, provided they are presented in the ordinary course of classroom instruction and it is not substantially disruptive to the educational setting. Controversial issues may not be initiated by a source outside the school unless prior approval has been given by the principal. The board recognizes that a course of study or certain instructional materials may contain content and or activities that some parents find objectionable. If after careful personal review of the program, lessons, and or materials, a parent indicates that the school or to the school that either the content or activities conflicts with his her religious beliefs or value system, the school will consider a written request for the child to be excused from a particular class for specified reasons. The student, however, will not be excused from participating in the course and will be provided alternate learning activities during times of such parent-requested absences. Now, this is from the policy manual of Florida Department of Education, and it was reviewed on September 14, 2020 by Chancellor Jacob Oliva, but it was adopted by our school district June 13, 2017.
You got that, Mark?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now this is the whole thing, Mark. If this was sent to the state and the DOE came back and reviewed it, Jacob Oliva, and said that this follows the guidelines of the DOE. Now, here's my question and here's my complaint about this situation. If this was adopted by a former board, which is the board who was here before I got there, why didn't they read all this if it's objective, if it's an objection to it? Secondly is, if our state representative objects to this, why didn't he object to this and not let this go through? And third is, if this situation, for instance, what I get from everyone is, well, we don't want the kids indoctrinated. Well, I don't either. But who allowed this to happen? And if they didn't want it to happen, why did they let this go through? It's a controversial issue. Okay, my feeling, and as a board member, is that I believe that subjects like what has been coming up on BLM and other politicals should be away from the classroom. I feel that teachers should teach the basics. I feel that they should teach the curriculum. I think that that's what they should stick to, and I don't believe that our kids should be indoctrinated either Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, BLM, or whatever. And that is my opinion. I cannot sit here and say that's the opinion of the board, but I am going to bring this forward at the next meeting.
I think at the next meeting it's going to be a pretty decent crowd.
Good.
You might see a decent crowd.
Well, here's what I have for you that'll be really helpful, and it would be helpful to the entire crowd. I have all the names and addresses of people who are in Tallahassee that they can call, write, email, and they can discuss this with them and voice their opinion of what they don't want the DOE to implement. And I really believe that that's a good way to do it. I would love to have everybody come to the meeting. I'd love to engage everyone. I can assure you that we will be very courteous. I'm hoping that the population will reach out to the other board members to correct the situation that I think should be corrected. And so I have this. If you want it, I can give it to you. But there was one thing today that was very exciting, and I know that you would love this. Did you watch President Trump today about 3:30 or 4 o'clock?
No, I missed that.
By executive order, he has implemented the 1776 commission. By executive order, he is going to restore patriotic education to all our schools by executive order today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news. So now,
that's what I said.
The teacher in this classroom who put this up, who will remain nameless, folks.
I don't even know who she is. So I can't even give you her name, Mark. I don't get involved in things because I can't do hiring and firing.
All right. So is there some kind of, maybe you know, maybe you don't, is there some kind of letter of reprimand that goes like, this is going on your permanent record, young lady. You're going to be in a file. You're going to be some kind of a...
Mark, I can tell you that the superintendent, I can tell you that Superintendent Stratton had her have a discussion with the principal and himself and HR, and what the outcome of it is, I don't know, but I voiced my opinion on it, and only my opinion, and he has assured me that that has been taken care of.
All right. Well, that's good news. Now, hopefully, if something like this happens again, they can reference to it. Is there a procedure like the union procedure? This is how I was in a IBEW, Local Number 3 in New York City, you know, during the 9/11 times. A friend of ours, everybody knows George Colella, was there waiting the electrical panels that I had built. That's crazy. We figured that out. Not this 9/11, the 9/11 before. That he was waiting for our guy to deliver the electrical panels for his guys to install. That's crazy stuff.
Yes.
You know? But wow. I was just informed by a friend of mine who's got a kid at Springstead. I don't know. He just ran this over that his teacher told him the Republican Party is the party of slavery ever since the Great Switch. Is that loud? Is that part of the curriculum?
Not that I'm aware of, but I'll definitely check into that. Yes.
Pretty great.
Now we did have an incident today. I'm sure that if you went on Blaze and Golia's website, you might have seen it, where there was a threat that there were going to be people from BLM movement or kids who were going to go ahead and voice their protest and come in with all kinds of gear. That signifies that they support it. And so they were what the whole thing was about is there was going to be very disruptive today. And so when I saw that, I immediately called the superintendent and called the principal involved. And we put in motion extra SROs to make sure that there was not going to be any kind of a problem. But this principal who's there, who is Troy LaBarbera, is one of the finest principals you could ever imagine. He has a great relationship with his kids, and everybody who thought there was going to be an event, it was not an event. It was a person who, from another school, not a school, but a e-school, that put this on the internet, and everybody was up in arms thinking there was going to be some major thing happening today. But we take all these things seriously, and so everybody was put into motion to make sure that it was not going to be a problem at Wikiwachi. And I can tell you that the whole thing went down without even a whisper. But we were prepared. But the school itself was already aware of it before it went up on the site, and so was the superintendent before I even got to them. And they handled it extremely well, very professionally. I'm very proud of Troy LaBarbera, and I'm proud of the superintendent stepping up so quickly to get this done. He was already in action before I even called him.
Good. That's good to hear. So,
So
I'm going to do a couple of things here real fast. We're at the bottom of the hour.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Get a pen, folks. Here you go.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All right, looks like we got a couple of callers here. What I'm going to do, Jimmy, real fast, is I'm going to play a song. I'm going to screen the calls, make sure everybody's legit, and we'll start taking some calls right after this song.
Excellent.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dave Bray, Freedom Rings. You can get this right now at DaveBray.com, DaveBrayUSA.com. Called Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Did very well. Check it out. Freedom Ring.
For every soul from every war, across the seas, or on our shore, every fold. Coffins are laid with old land, for every daughter and every son. The price was paid for everyone, so remember him, cherish his name, your freedom rings. Final breath, our flag still flies. So it is said, the blood of heroes never dies. So for every soul from every war, across the sea,
Constitution Day. Dun, da, da, don't forget to. This is the one that they're teaching my kid at school, is the law of the land and supersedes all other laws that are not in compliance. What a lesson. God, man, my son's in a good school. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. Let's go here. We're going to bring Jimmy back on the show here. Is that Jimmy?
Yes.
All right. I think I screened the calls and I picked you up.
That's okay.
It happens, you know. It happens. It's we used to call this show. I had a a show that I was doing called Constitution 101 with a good friend of mine at Texas, admitted to the Patriots movie, Charlotte. And sometimes it just was a train wreck. So we called it the Train Wreck Radio Show. There was a reason. If someone's got the show on in the background, I don't know, turn it off or mute it or something. There's an awful echo. I don't know what that is. We'll put it quieter. All right. So we have some concerned citizens on the line. Let's see. We have, you see her in the live feed there. She's been in contact with me. Her name is Jill. We're going to bring her on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Jill, she has a question for the Hernando County School Board member, Jimmy Lodato. He came on and clarified the whole issue with the Black Lives Matter in the schools. Now we're going to move on to some questions from people in the community who have kids in the school system. Go ahead, Jill. You have a question for Jimmy?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate that. My question, actually, I've been researching a little bit about it, the sex ed that they want to teach. It's actually been designed by the United Nations, the WHO, and the World Economic Forum. And it's extremely concerning when they're teaching children in the first and second grade about mutual masturbation, and it's already been approved in over 20 states. That is a huge concern to me, considering everything that's going on with California and normalizing pedophilia and everything that's going on.
Yes.
I actually went on to Liberty Council to a certain website. I don't have it, but I can send it to Mark via message. I don't have the link on me. And I actually downloaded a form. It's a non-parental consent form that says that he will not be taught any of this. I wanted to know more about what was going on with the sex education as well, because this is all connected. It's all by the same people. It's all funded by the same people. This is just insanity what they want to teach. I also just went on the Scholastic newsletter that they give the children to order books. I went on there. Yes. I screenshotted some information. I sent it to Mark right before the show. I couldn't believe it. I was ordering books, and here they are preaching about Black Lives Matter. So I just wanted to get your input more about the sex education, because I don't know if it's approved in our state yet, but I don't – like I said, I did the whole non-parental – the parental non-consent form, and I submitted it to Westside Elementary where my son goes. I just wanted to know if you knew anything about this, and also about the 1619 Project, which is about historians are up in arms about this as well. It's not even history that they're teaching, and it's more Black Lives Matter agenda pushed down throats, and it's enforced by the teachers unions as well. So I just wanted to get your opinion on basically those two things.
Absolutely. As far as the sex education that you're talking about, where did you pick up that form?
I went to it's the website. I can send it to Mark. It was she used to be in the teachers union. I've got to find the paper. It's
is this here in Hernando County, Jill?
It's Hernando County. Well, I don't know if it's in our class, if it's in our district. But I went ahead. It was the website, and it's a legal form by Liberty Council, and it's for kids and country .org is the name of the website where I received where I got the PDF from, and I downloaded it and I printed it.
Well, Jill, if you downloaded it and you printed it out, send it in to Mark and he'll send it to me and I'll look at it. But I have not seen anything like that in the county, and I can tell you right now. When these agendas come up, these agenda items that are on Tuesday nights at the meetings, sometimes I'll have 3,000 documents to read. And I want to tell you, I read all 3,000 documents, so it's very difficult for anybody to get anything by me. I have not seen anything like that since I've been in office, which is, one and three quarter years. But I will check into it for you and find out, and I'll get Mark to get back with you.
Oh, like I said, I already downloaded the PDF and I printed it out. I signed it. I actually brought it into my son's school and had them stamp that they received it to put it in, that he will not be a part of any of those teachings. Like I said, I know it's been approved in over 20 states. So I don't know if we were in it, but I just figured I'd jump ahead and, you know, get my non-parental consent form in there. Also, I was just worried about the BLM as well. You know, how can you teach it, you know?
Let me ask you a question. Do you ever attend our meetings, our school board meetings?
I have not. No, I have not. I'm a bartender server, so my hours, I work in the evening.
Okay. As far as the, you know, if you can get that to me, I'm sure Mark will get it to me. I'll definitely get back with Mark, and that way he can give you an answer. But on the other one that you were talking about, what was it, the 1619 movement?
The
I don't know if you've heard the president.
Project.
Yes, the project. The president was speaking on today, and he was adamantly upset about it and told him that was not going to occur. And so he's very, very firm in what he says. And as I told Mark today, he came up with a what they call the 1776 commission. And by executive order today, they are going to restore patriotic education to all our schools. And that's an executive order. That means all of us get it.
Awesome. Because I know historians are, like, up in arms about the 1619 Project. It's not even history they're teaching. It's just total agenda.
Yeah. Don't even pay attention to it, but I'll let me pay attention to it for you.
Outstanding. And, awesome. Thank you. And I will send that to Mark as soon as I get that website. I will send it to him. He can download the information and stuff that's on there.
Well, thank you. And thank you for bringing it to my attention.
Thank you, sir, for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jill. If you want, Jill, you can stay on hold. That's the best way to listen to the show.
I am. I'm going to stay on hold and listen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Oh, hit the wrong button. All right. So there you go. There's a concerned parent there with a little concern. And now our next guest reached out to me, and his name is – let me call his name. His name is Tommy, and he's a concerned – person who wants to ask a question as well. Ladies and gentlemen.
Is that Tommy Lee?
That's me. Yes, sir, Jimmy.
Hey.
Yes, sir, Jimmy. How are you?
Tommy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the drummer of Motley Crue.
No.
He has the money like a Motley Crue.
Jimmy, I just got a couple of quick questions. I think you touched pretty good on the BLM issue. I just a quick question there. Did you recommend that teacher be reprimanded to the superintendent?
I recommended more than a reprimand, but I can't go into all those details. But the superintendent has to go through certain procedures every time there's some kind of a violation or something that is not according to policy, and then the superintendent handles it, the principal involved handles it, and then HR handles it. So what they did, I don't know because I don't get involved in it. And the reason I don't is because I have no say-so in the hiring and firing of anyone in the district. I can only do that with the superintendent.
Okay. Is there any transparency on there for us, you know, concerned parents to find out what exactly was spoken about in the meeting?
Well, I tell you what you can do. You come to the meetings, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you come to the meeting and bring that question with you on Tuesday night, and then we can get an answer.
I definitely will be there. Are we able to ask questions when we speak?
Absolutely. You can ask questions, and then what will happen is the superintendent may not answer you at that moment, but he will send you a response because he's very good about doing that. And when we hired him as our superintendent, he promised that he would engage everyone who comes before him and speaks to the board.
Okay, excellent. I have a lot of concern. Yes, sir.
No, and if something happens that you don't get your answer, you know, just give me a call back and I'll get you an answer.
Okay, perfect. I have a lot of concerned parents, including myself, with the mandatory mask order. I'm wondering, how long has that been implemented? Is that for the entire school year?
No, Tommy. As soon as we can get those figures down or get the vaccine, I know that the president's moving really quick on the vaccine, from what I'm understanding. And I represented some national companies as a statewide food broker and also as a national broker. And Pfizer was one of my companies, along with GlaxoSmithKline Beecham. And I am confident that they will have that vaccine out before the end of October. And so once the vaccine is here and we can get started with it and get our figures down, I think that we'll be able to remove that order. But the problem we had, Tommy, just to explain it to you, is the teachers, when we brought them back to school, first of all, you know, we gave you three methods of bringing the kids back, and 67% of the parents wanted the kids back in school. So we opened it up for digital and for e-school and for also brick and mortar. But the teachers were very, very shy, or not shy, but scared to be in the schoolroom but with people running around and maybe giving them a COVID disease and then taking it back home to their elderly parents or grandparents. And I have the same worry about the kids. You know, the kids can carry it, but, you know, they can pass it. I mean, even if they don't get it in a strong, you know, application, they can pass it on. And the teachers were worried about, uh-oh, if what happens if the kid goes home and gives it to his mother or his grandmother, and then somebody, you know, there's so much uncertainty, Tommy, so I couldn't take the chance. And I pushed the date back as a school board member. I requested that we move to the 31st rather than the 10th to open the schools, which would give us enough time to see if everything would be okay, get our numbers down. And as you notice, our numbers are coming down. If we had started off earlier, the numbers were right around 11%, and now it's like 2.9. So we're getting to a level where, you know, I feel very confident that this thing is going to slow down and that we'll be able to get it under control. Once we do, you know, I'll go ahead and issue it and ask them to remove that situation.
Okay. Now, is it open-ended at this point, or is there a certain like time frame that was set that would be revisited?
No, it's open-ended. And the reason we did that is to see how everything goes. You know, this thing could go away too. You know, H1N1 went away. And with the figures going down the way they are, it's a possibility that, you know, with everybody getting it and not knowing they have it, we could have this thing where, you know, it'll kind of cure itself. But at the same time, President Trump is moving extremely fast. And I'm really, really thankful for the president's action. But, you know, he's a businessman. He doesn't sit around waiting for FDA to run through a two-year sequence. And you hear it on the news all the time. Oh, my God, the president is going to pull this vaccine out and he's going to kill all of us. Do you really believe that a company as large as Pfizer is going to take a chance on hurting somebody with a vaccine and getting sued and having to go out of business? You know, these other people.
No, I get that for sure. With that being said, is the vaccine going to be something that's going to be the school's going to make mandatory?
No, nothing is going to be mandatory. It's going to be a situation where you will have your choice. You know, if you feel that you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be mandatory because, you know, like we said, you know, when you look at the figures, Tommy, there's what, 85 to 88% now on COVID cases are people who are sitting at 80 or better. You know, 65 or better for, I think it was 82%. So when you're looking at low volumes for kids, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that it would have to be mandatory.
Okay, I get that. I got one final question. This kind of goes hand in hand with everything we've been talking about. What would you say? I talk to a lot of concerned parents. I am one of them. The kids need the brick and mortar education, but they're struggling wearing the mask. There's kids. My daughter comes home almost every day with a headache. I speak to countless parents that their kids are having headaches. They're having, you know, breathing issues. They're breaking out with rashes on their faces. What would you say to those parents, including myself, who need the brick and mortar education, but are forced to wear the mask?
Well, all I can tell you, Tommy, is maybe we can revisit it and look at it where there might be some periods where we can get them to, you know, take them off where they're outside and where they're, you know, it will be safe for everybody else. But I'm concerned about it too, but I'm very concerned about if our numbers start to go up again, they're going to come out and just blame the president, blame the governor, blame all of us for bringing the schools back. And, you know, we have to get the kids back to school. We have to get people back to work. I mean, this is just insanity where so many people are out of work. And so once we get the schools in position and the parents can go to work, then everybody can make a living and we can go back to being the way we used to be. But I will look at it carefully. I'm only one person out of five, but, you know, I have a big mouth and I'll definitely push for that. And if you can come over Tuesday night, come up and make your case again. And let's see if there's any way that they can figure out some kind of medical maybe some kind of a medical situation that your child may have that allows her not to wear it.
Yeah, it's not just my child. It's a lot of others too. That's why we're very concerned. I appreciate if we could open a dialogue, that would be a great starting point where we can even maybe start to include some mask breaks for times where they can get a break in the meantime while this is going on.
Well, why don't you bring that up on Tuesday night and make that one of the issues, and then we'll answer it. But I have to tell you, Tommy, I don't like these masks either. I'm sick of wearing one. I don't really want to wear one. But I'm an old guy, and everybody, you got to wear one. Well, I have to wear one because if I ask the kids to wear one and the teachers to wear one, then we have to wear one. You know, it's not a situation. We have to be responsive to everybody's needs.
No, I understand that. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on here and being open about everything, too.
No, yes, no indeed. Problem,
thanks a lot,
Tommy. You call me anytime. Tommy?
Yes.
Is Tommy on there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah, Tommy, just remember, when you go into the meeting, in the front lobby is my card, and my card has my phone number on it. Everybody always says, well, I'm going to go ahead and put it on Facebook. Rarely do I jump on Facebook, but you can call me direct, You don't need to wait and go through any other procedure.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'll definitely take you up on that. We'll have to be nice to maybe sit down and have a further conversation on this.
Anytime, yes, Tommy. Indeed. Anytime.
Thanks a lot, Tommy, for your
call. Okay, appreciate it, Jimmy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I have another caller online. She reached out here in the live feed. I told her to call. She has a question quick. Let's have her ask her question. All right.
Hello?
Hey, Danielle, to the show.
Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you? It's Danielle.
Is that Danielle Underwood?
How you doing?
How you doing, girl?
All right. So my question is to, and you and I see eye to eye a lot.
Wait a minute. You reach out and give me questions anytime you want, but go ahead. Give me one.
I know that. But Mark asked me to call in, so I called in.
No. Give me a question. I'm ready to listen.
A couple questions. Due to your comment about the vaccine, what a lot of parents are saying is that they will refuse the vaccine. So what will a vaccine have to do with the mask mandate? If people refuse the vaccine and children are unvaccinated, what will that do to the mask mandate would be my first question. Second question to piggyback off of that is, would the district or would it be even possible for the district to mandate that the kids be vaccinated? So, like, will kids have to be vaccinated for coronavirus in order to go into public schools?
Well, I think what you're going to see first, Danielle, because I've talked to the manufacturer since I knew them, I represented them. And what everyone is saying that is that the vaccine, when it comes out, say it comes out mid-October and it's out there, all the people who are vulnerable will get that vaccine first. I mean, there's no question. But there's millions of vaccines being produced right now by six manufacturers. So we're going to have a widespread of manufacturers. The president is very adamant about getting this out there to all the public. And so it's going to open up for anyone who wants that vaccine. Whether it's mandatory, what I think we'll do, and I have to ask John because he's the superintendent, is that what we should do is go ahead and put out a survey, just like we did with the schools, and find out who wants to do it, and that way we get an indication of how the population feels. At the same time, I think once that vaccine comes out and people start using it, these numbers are going to fall down to an extremely low level, which will relieve the situation of a mask, I believe. And that's only my belief, but that's what I'd like to do. So.
Okay.
My last question would be
in regards to Blaze Agnolia's post that we started off with and talking and rebuttaling a little bit what you said on the green lighting. My opinion of the superintendent's comments at the end of the meeting were similar to Blaze's. It seemed like he gave the teachers the go-ahead to talk about Black Lives Matter because it is a current event and that teachers had to leave their personal opinions out of it, which we all know
yes.
that's very difficult to do when you talk about a sensitive subject.
Of course it is.
And, at the last board meeting, some teachers union board members, made their comments very strong. And that
yes.
kind of showed parents and directed parents where the teachers union stands. And so it's very confusing to me on why a lot of people are putting the blame on Blaze or putting the blame on Facebook groups that are posting these things when all we're really trying to do is get it out there to the parents so the parents know what's going on. So I think John's statement at the end really gave the teachers the go-ahead that they could teach about that current event but leave their personal opinions out. And how can we ensure that that's going to happen? And why are we even allowing that? If we're going to teach about that, why don't we teach about, other things, that people don't want to hear about? So
I got to tell you, if they could teach it all they want as long as they teach it correct. As long as they teach
correct.
That Black Lives Matter is a Marxist terrorist organization trying to tear down the fabric of America, which is freedom, liberty, and the American way of life. Then they could teach it
and
all they want.
That's not happening. That's the problem.
Well, let me go ahead and answer your questions first, Danielle, if I can. As far as the last question is concerned, John actually didn't say, giving the green light. What happened is he went back to the Temi read it out. I don't know if you got it. Did you hear what she read out as far as the
I did.
The policy?
Yeah, and it's exactly what I heard that night.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what we did is I had Temi transcribe it so we'd have it word for word for anybody who hears it. And what I had mentioned originally was to put out the statement that we will only teach curriculum. But when you go back to the DOE says that these are the things, the policies that they agree to. Now, I am not in agreement with that, and I don't believe that those things should be in effect today. I even asked Mr. Engolia, since he's our state representative, to get a hold of Mr. Corcoran and go over all these policies to make sure that are the policies they want to follow, because Governor DeSantis said he's going to change a lot of things. Common Core is going out the window. A lot of things that are there that are kind of detrimental to our kids won't be here. I think that if the governor didn't have all these things happen to him with Mexico Beach last year and now with COVID, I think we would have solved the problem. But Blaze is the one, and I told him, if you feel this hard about it, if you feel this the way this thing is incorrect, then why aren't you up there talking to him to go ahead and set the policy for the whole state so we won't have any confusion?
Well, he may be very well doing that. I mean, that could take a long time. I think we need to hold our superintendent to a higher standard than that. You know what I mean? We need to hold our superintendent to say, okay, listen, this is Black Lives Matter is exactly how Mark explained it just a few minutes ago, and say that if we're not going to teach it to what it really is, then we need to leave it out of our current events in the curriculum. That is an option that our superintendent can do. And I would hope that he would do something along those lines.
Well,
let me just say
a couple of things if I can. Just to clarify, every school district in Florida follows the policy. And we want to determine how the policy is followed for our own school district. I feel that instead of each school district having to, enforce something that the parents do not want, there's no reason why, Mr. Engolia can't get Mr. Corcoran to get this in a policy that's statewide, and I'm for that. Now, let me just tell you that when Tuesday night comes around or Tuesday during the day, I will be bringing up in front of the board that I am not for going forward with anything with BLM in it. And as far as I'm concerned, BLM means burn, loot, and murder. And I am not for any program that pushes that forward. And secondly, if I could, is to say to you that at the same time, I don't want any politics in the schools. What I would like for the schools to concentrate on is educating our kids. I want a curriculum that will educate them, so when they come to me and say, we have these programs going and we're teaching all these reading programs and all, they're telling me that a sixth grader can't get past a third grade reading class. What's wrong with the system? Things need to be changed. We have to educate our children properly. And so
we need to teach them more common sense stuff and everyday stuff.
Exactly. We don't have time for this. There's no time for this. Yeah. And so I will be bringing this up, and if you're there that night, and if everybody's there that night, that's why I want you there. I want everybody to come forward and tell us what you want. That's the only way I can get things moved, and that's the only way I can push it in front of the board. Now, I'm not saying that I can do it alone because, there's five of us. And as a lot of times I get myself on a 4-1 vote. for instance, like on the SROs, you know, they wanted to go with a private police force. And I said, no, we're going to have deputies in all the schools. And everybody, you know, I got voted down. So I turned it around and I changed it. But we need more community participation in our schools. And the thing is, with me out there pushing and the loudmouth that I am on things like this, we reversed their attitude and turned around and kept all of our SROs in the schools. I don't know if you know that or not, but we have deputies in every single school. And so it's very important that we keep them there and keep our kids safe. And I don't want to hear about how much it costs. I don't care what it costs. I just want them protected. And so that's
well,
what
we appreciate everything you do, Mr. Lodato.
Well, I appreciate you getting out there and talking to everybody and getting them stirred up on certain issues that need to be brought forward. But I do have to tell you, I know that John Stratton gets a lot of hits as to what he can, you know, like, why didn't he do this and why didn't he do that? He is answering to the board. There's five people up there, five people giving him, you know, a direction as to where he's going to go. And sometimes it's a confusing thing, but I can tell you that the man engages you. He's very attentive. He listens, but at the same time, he has five bosses, so he's listening to five different viewpoints. And I can't talk to any other board member. You know that, right? If I talk to a board member, discuss anything, I'm guilty of the violation of the sunshine law. And so I cannot talk to anyone. When you see me at the meetings, I'm at the informal and I'm hammering them on the formal. I hammer them at the workshop. And the evening when y'all come up and speak to me, as you notice, I tell everybody shut their damn phones off and listen to who's out there because I want to hear it. And if the bell goes off and it's past 3 minutes, I don't care. Speak.
Well, and again, right, I think our superintendent's doing a great job. I think we just need to hold them to a higher standard when it comes to the BLM movement.
I really appreciate
you for your time.
No, anytime. And thank you for doing what you do. I appreciate it. And I want to hear from all our parents, good or bad. Don't get shy. Come up there. Say what you have to say. It's the only way you educate us.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. Thanks, Mark, for having me.
Thank you.
Stay on the line if you want to go back. I don't know if the live feed's working right now. I have no idea. But it seems to be working. My phone says the Facebook has stopped here, the one that's taking the video, but it seems to be on. But thanks. If you want to stay on hold and listen to the rest of the show, you can stay there. It's the best spot anyway.
Thank you so much.
Is that James I see over there on that right side?
Yeah.
Hey, James.
Yes, it is. Hey, Jimmy.
James.
And he's got a couple of questions he wants to ask also. So
good.
Go ahead, James.
Hey, Jimmy. Again, thanks for coming on. Thanks for all the callers who called in. You know, we've known each other a hell of a long time. And like I said at the beginning of the show, there was no arm twisting. As soon as I discussed this with you, you agreed right away to come on my show, and we appreciate that. And as you know, I'm not a fan of most of these school board members, you know, and I know you're in a tough position there. And unfortunately, this last election, we're stuck with the same ones. But my thing, Jimmy, this was a thing. You were always up front. People appreciate that, and I appreciate that. But is there anything... I mean, if it was done already, but can you assure the audience right now, and people of Hernando County, that the board or John Stratton, which I wish we were playing a phone tag a whole week long, and you get a chance to ask him, and I wish he would have come on the show, did he and will he send out, whether it's a memo, whether he calls in all the principals, and the principals call in each the teacher, to just emphasize that the people in Hernando County not going to stand for this kind of curriculum and it's a violation and you will be held accountable if it's done. And then if there could be some kind of periodic memos or monitoring of the situation, the people would feel a lot better about that.
Touch on something because you're breaking up a little bit. I think I've lost you a little bit, James.
Okay. You there now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead. I missed about maybe 15 seconds of your last word.
Okay, yes. Well, at the end I was saying is that that this memo did go out or will go out or if it's going to be that he tells each principal to meet with the teachers that and to say that the people in Hernando County will not tolerate this kind of widespread, going so far away from unauthorized curriculum, and that if it does happen again, there are going to be consequences, and if there could be some kind of periodic review of this so that parents can be assured that, you know, their children are being taught what they're going to school for.
Okay. James, the problem
yeah.
we have at this moment is he has to follow the law, meaning from the DOE. What
okay.
I did was I put on the website all of the contacts of Mr. Ingolia and also Mr. Corcoran, who's our education commissioner, and I believe I put in another chancellor's name. You need to contact them, contact Mr. Ingolia, put it on his website, tell him to go over and see Mr. Corcoran and see if he can get a statewide program that will set policy for all of us. I don't like all this political stuff in the schools at all. I just, as a person, I don't think it's smart. I think we need to teach curriculum. We need to get them away from things that – what happens is a kid will come to school and he'll want to discuss a subject, and then it'll be discussed in the classroom, and another kid will come in opposition to that subject. Now, what do you think happens? They get into an argument, even if the teacher is sitting there monitoring it. When they get out of the room, it'll continue out in the yard, and we'll have bullying, and we'll have fights. We don't
Absolutely.
Need this.
No,
and
not,
so
not
my
so
feeling
much.
Is let's get on the schools and see if they could just do what has to be done, educate our children, stay out of
Absolutely.
Politics.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I'll contact State Representative Blaze, and other people should do that. But just for Hernando County right now, I think people would feel better if the superintendent would issue some, you know, some kind of statement to the public that, you know, he is he sent out a to the school.
The problem we have, James, I'm not trying to be you know, funny about it, but the problem we have is that the superintendent sends out a memo out like that at this time without the policy being changed. He's overstepping himself because the board, original board before I got there, which means Johnson and Bob Navarrete and the rest of them who are there, they agreed to this. And so that has to be changed, you know, and the only one that can change it is Mr. Ingolia, who's our representative, to go to,
right.
to Tallahassee or to go talk to Mr. Corcoran, who's our commissioner of education, and get them to change the policy. We're not the only ones that are going to run into this problem. It's going to happen statewide.
Right. So again, could people write or call the governor?
Yes. I sent that in. Did you send that in to him? He had the information on. James. Right now, Mark has all that contact information on how you can contact every single one of them with phone numbers and addresses. I gave it to you.
All right, we'll do.
We need
we'll
your help.
That.
We need the public to get out and say this is what we want. This is what we don't want, and let them do what the taxpayers want.
And we got one more question for you, Jimmy. And I got to wrap it up.
Go ahead.
It is a very important question. Folks seem to be concerned, as we were all nailed with it comes out to 18% when it's all said and done, property tax hike in Hernando County. And
yes.
the school board is now asking for a millage increase. Can you explain, talk a little bit about that? I think that's extremely important because I feel like I'm getting raised as far as taxes
Absolutely.
Go already.
Is James still with you?
Yes.
James, I don't know if you heard me earlier, but a lot of these things are going to change once President Trump, by executive order, which means it's in effect to now as he signed it. He signed it today. Once he implements
Jimmy, I was not aware of that, but, I mean, that's fantastic news.
Yes.
Really,
it's incredible news. The president stepped up and did what he said he was going to do, and he also mentioned, you know, the situation with the 16th century thing where he was very opposed to that, and he's not going to have it. I mean, he was very
Good.
Adamant about it. And so the thing that I want to get across, first of all, is the community owes James Scavetta a great deal of gratitude. He worked with me on the half-cent program to implement a half-cent sales tax back in 2015 so that we could repair all the schools. At the time, there were people out there who were very upset about us moving forward with it. We had people who were adamantly opposed and people who were adamantly for it. And what I explained to them is all these 23 schools belong to you, the taxpayer. And for years, people just let them slide because they said they didn't have enough money. So the air conditioners went out. We had leaky roofs. We had cooling systems go down. They weren't painted. I mean, the alarm systems were defective. The fire systems were defective. And we put together a program, and we documented every single thing that we were going to do. And James Gavetta is on that committee, and he voted against it. And he is fighting to make sure everything is done correctly. And I want to compliment you on that. So that's the first part. The second, James, you deserve that.
Thank you.
You deserve, it. Okay, and on the second portion of that is the school district came forward at a meeting about 2 months ago and said they were going to implement a one-mill tax. And at that time, I asked them a whole lot of leading questions as to, okay, what are you going to spend this money on? And they said, we have three categories. And one was raising the salaries for the teachers. Another one was security. And a third one probably for administration. I have no idea what the third one. I can't remember at this time. So I questioned the fact that during the half cent, we documented what we're going to use the money for. And they did not move forward with that type of campaign. So I told them I can't vote for this because you're not telling me what you're going to spend this money on and why you need it. And so I asked them to delay for 2 weeks and let me go out to all of the stakeholders, meaning the chamber, the builders, everybody out there, to see if there was an appetite for this, because at the time I told them moving forward with this kind of a tax at this time when employment is at a record high, unemployment, people are losing their jobs, cars, everything else, that I don't think it's the right time to do it, but I'll go out and I'll ask these stakeholders. Well, the board chairman and the other board members said no, they wanted to move forward with it now. So four of them voted for it, and I voted against it.
Yeah, same old story. And they got, as far as them wanting to use the money for security, they got applied for, if I, correct me if I'm wrong, a federal grant of $500,000 that's on its way for school security, which most school security does come from, you know, hardening of the schools and stuff from the federal government. So they can't, your other members there on the board, that's not, a, they can't argue that that because, you know, that they need the money for security.
Yeah.
Well, I can go on. There's a lot more things, Jimmy, that I think we would be in agreement on about that they, it's an unjustified, I think, at this, especially, like you said, at this time in you know, history and the economy, but there's really not grounds for them to, you know, to have that kind of increase.
Well, let me just say this, James. The school district is always in need of money. There are always programs that they want to implement and move forward with, and I understand it totally because they're trying to make life better for our children. However, at the same time, I need justification of what they plan to do. I'm a board member. I am representing you up there, so I have to be accountable for what is going on. And so when this whole thing went down, I asked one vital question, and the question was this. Has the governor approved or vetoed the $47,000 raise for the teachers? And they said the governor hasn't made the decision yet. I said, then why don't you delay this until we see what the governor is going to do? Now, a week later, the governor approved the $47,000 starting pay for the teachers. And so the point I'm trying to make is I'm one person on the board. I try to be the voice of reason. Sometimes, as one person, it doesn't get across. And I apologize. It's not like running a corporation, and it's very difficult for me to handle.
No, we definitely, you know, like I said, we've known each other a long time. We've been on opposite, we've been on the same side, we've been on opposite sides, but it's never affected our friendship, and we're able to work together. In fact, this program, that committee, that oversight committee that you set up, or Hill set up, is working so fantastic, and you know that we're so opposed to that sales, the increase in the sales tax, not because I didn't believe the schools needed the money, I just had a different agenda where the money should come from. You know, I wanted it from the state, but putting all that aside, that system is so good. I give you guys about it. The 5 years that I've been on that committee, by the way, I was drafted by Jimmy Lodato and Mark Johnson. that committee. I didn't have much to do. But it works so well, and it's such an efficient machine that, and I know you were instrumental in keeping us on there. That we're all termed out, and the board, your other members there, including Gus, wanted to get rid of us because he wanted term limits.
No.
He was considered that he's running there for forever. I can't remember if it wasn't Gus Gardino was a school board member. That works so well. And I would like to work with you. I want to say this on air. I'd like to work with you that if we could implement that, I know this county wouldn't like it, but to monitor the county commissioners, the sheriff's office, the fire department, of where, how they spend it. And it would be a volunteer committee, so it wouldn't cost the county any money. And this way they'd have somebody to give account to. So let's try to get together and work on that in the future.
Well, I appreciate that. James, let me just say this. We have a lot of things that we have to do, that we're trying to do, and one of them is a big project for me, is trying to get the vocational school in. And for 2 years, I've been pushing this battle.
Yep. Yep.
I know you know that because we pushed it for a long time. And I had it in front of the governor's desk last year, and when Mexico Beach was wiped out in the panhandle, the governor vetoed my vocational school. And then this year, we pushed it again, and we got it all in front of the legislators. Mr. Simpson, he's done a fantastic job. I'm very proud of him. Same thing with Ralph Mazzullo, and the Blaze came on board, and we got it all in front of the governor, but then all of a sudden, COVID hit. So then I didn't get a chance to get my vocational school. And now this is the purpose. We're graduating 1,500 kids a year, and we're training all our kids to go to college. Okay, but out of 1,500, 500 are not going to college. What do we do with these kids? I want to train them. I want to get them all set up in high school so that we can give them a certification so they can get a job once they get out of the 12th grade. And so that's economic development. And so I feel very confident that if we can still work together, I feel confident that this governor will do the right thing next year. And so keep your fingers crossed, and let's hope the governor comes through and helps us, and we don't have any other catastrophes.
Yeah. Mark's got to wrap things up. But, again, thank you, Jimmy, for coming on. Thank you to your wife, Tammy, for doing the reading. And we'll be working together for the benefit of people of Hernando County in the future, Jimmy. Take care.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. And good night, Mark.
You're going to stick around here for the wrap-up if you'd like. That's up to you.
Good.
I got a great song I'm going to play. It's the Star Spangled Banner.
I want to hear it.
It's by our good friend Dave Bray USA. It's a great version. I just want to kind of go over the schedule coming up. I got a couple of cool shows coming up here.
Good.
Next, folks, you might remember this gentleman from the Bundy Ranch situation. He was there early on. He's been sentenced to a long, long prison sentence. And he was just recently released from prison for whatever reason there is. I don't want to give everything away. I just want to let you know that this guy's out, coming on our show on the 24th. He's free. They let him go. It's great news. Prayers have been answered. It's amazing stuff. And then on the 28th, it's a special Monday, so I don't do Mondays. Every once in a while I do Monday. Monday is our good friend Gary Binford, former writer for the New York Daily News and the New York Newsday as a sports writer. He has some fantastic connections. His show is United Patriots Uprising Mondays. But I got a special show this Monday, Virginia Pro Dan. She is a wonderful American citizen now, and she escaped communism and is sickened by what she's seeing on the left because it reminds her of her life. Growing up as a kid, things that she's seen. And then there's this gentleman on October 8th. This is a little bit out there, folks. His name is Dr. Patrick Flynn. He's like one of these frontline doctors that is, pushing for to get rid of the masks and do all this hydroxychloroquine as a cure, et cetera, for the COVID-19. So we got that is on October 8th. So the schedule is looking pretty cool. We're going to have a good time and bring you the right information, folks, so you can be informed with the truth, the people that are on the front lines, that are in this fight, fighting for you, fighting for me, fighting for freedom, liberty, and the American way. which is what we stand for at the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And something else we'd like to stand for, ladies and gentlemen, is the flag. We don't burn it. We don't disrespect it. We don't trash it. We love it. We respect the sacrifice of the men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice defending the freedom that I enjoy. I tried to live my life as an American citizen that every veteran would be proud to have served for. And I wish everybody would feel that way, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is my friend Dave Bray. He just come on the show on 9/11 with his new song, which I played at the beginning of the show. DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission, the Story Tour Edition is out now. ForgetLibertyRush.com. They are social media without the libtarded rhetoric. And my friend Paul over at PatriotShit.com, head on over there, get some survival gear, some cool patches and other gear. As long as at Dave Bray's site, you get some cool gear there too. But this is Star Spangled Banner, as performed by Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition. And here's the flag, so you can stand too. Oh, we always get an ad when I do this. How do I get rid of the ads? I guess I got to buy the subscription to YouTube. Here we go. Oh, my God. Give me some time. Ladies and gentlemen, you are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. All of a sudden, the Star Spangled Banner went away. I'm trying to turn up the volume.
There. Now we can hear it.
Mark, I got to tell you, that was absolutely beautiful. And if you will, before I leave, would you please have everybody say a prayer for all of my sheriff's deputies, all of my firefighters, and please, just God bless them and keep them safe, please.
Hold on. I'm going to turn this on. There we go. Well, let's do that right here, right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please join us in prayer as we wrap up this show. Dear Heavenly Father, please watch out for the sheriff's duties, the sheriff and the first responders and the fire department. Look out, take care, and bless us all. Watch after our community. We pray for our enemies that they will see the light, and we will welcome them with open arms if they just open their eyes. Lord, bless this county, bless this state, bless this nation, bless our President Jimmy Lodato for coming on tonight and doing this for our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
You,
there you have it.
God bless you too, brother.
Thanks, Jimmy. And Mark, thank you for having me on as co-host. It was a great thrill. He said, I've been on your show a lot, called in a lot, but never been a co-host. I really enjoyed it. I think we got a good message out there, Jimmy.
Yes, indeed. It's been fun. Again, thank you, Jimmy. And folks, if you missed it, the school board meeting is Tuesday, 5:30 over there in Brooksville. So if you can make it, make it. God bless America. God bless you. Thanks, Jimmy. And we're out. Until we meet again, good night. God bless you and God bless America.
Absolutely.
Be there.